America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Oh, such a clutch offseason pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 50% off site-wide and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 50% off site-wide at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Snap going to Milroe. Looking deep downfield. Looking for Williams. Comes back. Makes the catch. Trying to split defenders. Makes them bang into each other. Stays on his feet. Breaks a tackle. Scores! 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 Ryan Williams. One play. 75 yards. 4 + 2 = 6. And Alabama regains the lead.
I'd like to know where Lou Holtz is right now.
Oh, I win. Google me.
We're not hosting an intergalactic kegger down here.
My guess is that was Bama Radio with the call.
I mean, it could have been the AP calling that. I don't know.
Oh, I see what Bobby did there. He has a problem with the rankings. He had no problem with the rankings when Texas leapt over Georgia to number one without Georgia losing. But he does have a problem with Alabama jumping over Texas without Texas losing. More on that in a moment, but this was the game. Look, it may be the game of the year. We don't know when it is all said and done. But in
amazing,
just a tremendous, tremendous theater. And that was such a great game. And Alabama winds up getting the 41-34 victory over Georgia. Bama blew them out. Then was trailing for one play. And they hit that. And it was 2 minutes and 42 seconds to go in the fourth quarter. It was 33-28 Bama. And with 2:18 to go in the game, it was 41-34 Bama. Like, what a turn of events there at the end of that game.
And who is Ryan Williams? And that is a loaded question this morning.
He is 17.
17 years old. This Michael Jackson pirouette move on the sideline, just slowly spinning like he's Nancy Kerrigan out there. I mean, this guy is making it look beautiful and graceful. Who the hell is Ryan Williams with the performance that he put up for the Crimson Tide? The Georgia quarterback was getting run out of the state in the first half of this game.
And he caught a heater. He caught a heater in the second half, and Carson Beck, you know, finished with a really nice night. I mean, he did. He finished with a really nice night, and even at the end, I mean, they started to march down the field.
And then you have, I already know the answer to this. I'm going to ask Bobby anyway. Who are you feeling more wrong about, Jaden Daniels or Milroe?
That's a good question. Probably.
Oh, I thought it was going to be easily Jaden Daniels.
No, because I mean, Daniels. Like I said, Daniels is doing everything that he's supposed to right now, but I haven't seen him like consistently have to challenge it. He's still the kind of quarterback I always thought it was. Milroe's doing stuff at least that I haven't seen him do consistently.
Milroe has Matt Pittman Wednesday is going to be unbearable. Meet Church Wednesday. Milroe has a cannon. He's the best athlete on the field. He just looks so unrefined. Like, I still don't trust him to drop back 25 times and win an NFL game for me. That's, you know, I'm projecting him in my mind right now as like a fourth round pick. Like, I would have him, but the tools, like, he's the freakiest athlete out there on the field, and he was just unleashing and unloading. He's reminding me a little bit of Anthony Richardson, but he's unloading and unleashing some passes with that arm strength, but it just doesn't look, prototypical.
I think I probably feel more wrong about Milroe, because Milroe's at least throwing stuff in the middle of the field that I never thought he'd be able to hit.
I didn't see Josh Allen as a sophomore at Wyoming. I don't think anybody did. Yeah. In fact, I don't even think he was there as a sophomore. I think he was still in JUCO.
Josh Allen may be a better comparison. I like it better because it's black and white.
Black and white. I was going to say Joe Milton.
You get extra points for a different skin color comparison.
he's a big guy. I mean, he's a big bruising cannon of an arm guy. And you're right, refined, I think, is a good term. I don't think he's very refined yet. I think it's a much better situation for him to be with Kalen DeBoer than Nick Saban, if that makes sense, if you can wrap your head around that. Because DeBoer did do good things with Penix. You know, Penix, you know, he was a guy who couldn't put it together at Indiana. He was a good player. He had a lot of talent, just couldn't put it together. Goes to Washington with DeBoer, and all of a sudden, he's a top 10 pick. And, you know, Milroe under Saban, and to be fair, Jalen Hurts under Saban, a lot of guys, they didn't necessarily hit their potential. And now, because that's not who Saban's not a quarterback guy.
Georgia is 45-3 since 2021, with all three losses coming to Alabama, and I've never felt better about my decision to go this weekend to Nashville to see Alabama play Vanderbilt versus the Longhorns.
This is going
to
be big. And now you see the number one team in the nation.
Well, it could be a big beatdown.
It's going to be a big beatdown. There's no doubt about that one.
But I want to see the fanfare. Yeah. I want to see the Alabama. I mean, I can watch Texas anytime.
Yeah. Now,
and Texas may be a closer game. I don't know. We'll get to them in a second. But now I'm going to see the number one team in the country.
Yep. And they did leapfrog Texas. So it was Texas 1, Georgia, Ohio State, Bama, Tennessee, Ole Miss. And now it's Bama 1, Texas, Ohio State, Tennessee, Georgia, dropping from 2 to 5.
All right, Bob, you have the floor. What's your problem with it?
Okay, so the results of this game, the results of Texas's game against Mississippi State, anything they've done, the AP is telling you, or at least 40 AP voters are telling you, that it wasn't going to matter. Whoever won Georgia and Alabama, it was just defaulting. They were going to let them leapfrog Texas. And the hardest case to make is Alabama. Like that's a harder case than Georgia to make. If Georgia wins that game, there were already people that were still voting Georgia number one. Some people thought, oh, was Texas really ready to leapfrog them? So if you win against Alabama, I understand that pushing you over the top a little bit. Alabama is a team that has trailed in three straight games. Like, they've trailed at some point in their last three games. They struggled to put away USF at home. Like, South Florida was in that game. It was a one-possession game. They had the ball in the fourth quarter. And it was
14-13.
And Texas has not trailed all year. There's not a single moment where Texas has trailed this year. Texas has been up beating down every single team. They've done exactly what they're supposed to do. They are doubling up. Their yards gained is doubling up their yards allowed this year. They are a monster. They are the best offensive line in the country. They are penalized at a lower rate than Alabama. They turn the ball over at a lower rate per play or turnovers per place than Alabama does. Like, there's no argument here to me that Alabama should be above them. It's just it is the sexy, like, historic Bama deference that they love, but there's nothing that says Bama has been better than Texas.
Can't
this year.
Blame it on the SEC bias now, Bob.
Yeah, that's true. You can't. I don't have a problem with it because they, you know, look, Texas did not.
What would Texas have had to beat Mississippi State by to retain one? It was 35-13.
Right, which is uninspiring.
That's still a pretty nice beatdown. I know what the spread was, but 35-13 is...
It's a good beatdown. Now, Mississippi State's probably the worst team in the conference, or second worst. And what was it, 14-6 at half?
It was 21-6 after three. It was 14-6 at half.
Yeah, and now, granted, Texas needs to get, and I don't believe they're getting
with this, a backup quarterback.
Right. They're not getting a backup quarterback bump. Now,
What about a backup running back bump or like any of the other injuries they've sustained throughout the year and like been still beating? Like I said, I put it in my prep email last night. If they beat Mississippi State, if they beat the one that I forgot to put you on, if they beat Mississippi State 100-0, Texas still doesn't hold first place, I don't think.
And you know what? I don't have a problem with that. Because first of all, the rankings don't matter. They don't matter because this is all going to work itself out because Texas or Georgia or Alabama or somebody is going to be in the SEC championship game against them or whatever. They'll work itself out.
But if you're one and you don't do anything to lose it, you should stay one. If they won 100-0 and they dropped, I'd have a problem with that.
Right. I don't disagree with you, but when you're the number two team in the nation or the number four team in the nation, you beat the number two team. Like Texas doesn't have that win. They don't have that win on the schedule. The Michigan win does not look as good.
But
as
Texas also doesn't have a struggle at home against South Florida.
They don't. I'm not disagreeing with it. I don't have a problem with it either way. If they kept Texas one, it wouldn't have bothered me. If they dropped them, it wouldn't have bothered me.
To say number one doesn't matter. Like, number one doesn't matter to Alabama and number one doesn't matter to Georgia because they've been number one for, like, the last decade. It matters to a program like Texas that had not been number one since the 08 season, and that matters to other schools that are trying to show, like, we're competitive, we're a legitimate program. Like, in this NIL competitive era, like, those sort of margins, those sort of sustained success of being number one in the country, that does carry weight in recruiting classes.
And this is what Arch did.
Manning to take the snap on third down and a long nine. Has the snap. Pressure coming. He hits the first. Deep downfield. There for the catch. 10-5. Touchdown, Texas. DeAndre Moore.
How are we feeling about Arch now? You're watching him. You're trying to match it with the hype. What are you seeing? Try to separate it from the last name. Arch Manning.
I think Arch was fine. I mean, Arch was pretty good in this game. I mean, he was efficient.
26 to 31, 324, two touchdowns, showing off the wheels again.
Who's complaining about that? It's second start, third game? And you know, obviously it was SEC competition. It wasn't UTSA.
Can you complain 14-6 at half?
Sure. Yeah, you can. I mean, look, Oklahoma found this out this weekend. Texas found this out. I mean, the SEC is a tough conference, and you're going to have tough. Mississippi, every team in this conference is going to have five NFL players on it at some point. Which you don't get at every other conference.
Yeah, I mean, this was a much better performance in terms of he looked more impressive to me than he has the previous 2 weeks. He's still, his biggest issue right now is he does not, and this will come with experience, he does not have a sense of the pressure. Like, whenever there's a pass rush coming, like, from his blind side, he has no clue it's coming, and when he gets hit, there have been a couple times where it's been violent because he just has no clue anybody's behind him. There's a little bit of that. There's occasionally the accuracy is not always on point, but that's progressively gotten better over the course of these 3 weeks, that he's getting more accurate. He threw a beautiful ball to Jonte Cook in the second quarter, I think, that Cook just flat dropped it. That should have been a touchdown. That should have been up 21-6. And I mean, I guess that's where the AP was like, well, if you would have caught that, then maybe we would have voted you first. But my God, you couldn't catch a pass. Did you see what Bama did? Like, they're so awesome. They're so freaking great.
It is the college football kegger here on 105.3 The Fan. So they're off this week, Texas is off.
Uh-oh, might fall to fifth.
And then they have the big one at the State Fair of Texas. It's still the Red River Shootout, in my opinion. And Oklahoma does get the road victory.
There's the snap. Back to pass. Looks right. Darts one across the middle. Intercepted. Kip Lewis has it. Far sideline 50.
He's gone.
Down the sideline's 40. He's to the 30. Kip Lewis down the sideline being chased to the 5. He reaches. Touchdown. Touchdown. Kip Lewis pick 6. Kip Lewis pick 6. And the Sooners lead it at Auburn.
I think that's Sooners Radio with the call. This was a game where Oklahoma was down starting the fourth quarter. They were down 14-10 entering the fourth quarter. They get basically back-to-back touchdowns there, one in the pick six. And they beat Auburn on the road 27-21, setting up the showdown at the State Fair of Texas, Robert.
Yeah, and I mean, look, Oklahoma's not on Texas's level this year. So that's going to be a game that I feel really confident with Texas winning. But if it wasn't for the Georgia-Alabama game, which for all my complaining, yes, it was a fantastic game. It is a classic. Like, if ESPN Classic was still the prominent channel it once was, that's one that I would tune into if I saw it was up on TV in 8 years.
Does it even exist?
I don't think it does. But if it was on there, I'd be like, yeah, I'm going to tune in that one. If it was not for that game, like this would be up there as one of the more entertaining games of the week. This was fun football game. Oklahoma comes through with a big win. Tough for them that they're going to have to lose that momentum here in a couple weeks at the state fair. But yeah.
It's going to be Oklahoma. If they have any chance of winning this game, they're going to have to muddy it up. They're going to play defense. And now their quarterback, Hawkins, I mean, he can run. He can throw and he can run. I mean, he's a dual threat player. But that was almost a terrible loss because Auburn stinks. Auburn is not very good.
College football kegger part one here on a Football Monday with Sean, RJ, and Bobby. We got Peyton running things live on the Fan Cam, Twitch, and YouTube. Is that a burnt orange shirt that I see back there, Pepe?
Yes, it is.
Ooh, look at him.
He just chooses left or right. Yep. Left or right.
Who won this weekend? Who won?
All my teams won this weekend.
Old Drake back there.
Old Drake. All right. We have a state fair ticket giveaway coming up for you next during the Commercial Free Expressway. We're going to do it today and every single day this week. And maybe Peyton's greatest contribution to the show, besides when he's out, post-hut clarity wasn't as bad against the New York Giants as we all really thought. And should Mike McCarthy and Mike Zimmer be getting a pass with Micah and Tank out? Commercial Free Expressway on the home of the boys after this.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for Blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
bathroom? Like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything
taken
care of.
It took forever. And the worst part? Hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
Shop Blinds.com for up to 50% off site-wide and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more, Rex.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
What also stings, along with Jaden Daniels maybe being the savior for the Washington Commanders as they go into Arizona and smoke the Cardinals yesterday, well, it's being done by Dan Quinn and a whole lot of former Dallas Cowboys. And then we saw the postgame clip that went viral with Dan Quinn giving Bobby's boy the game ball after the W.
What up, Bills? A couple things you said last night, man. You said it's great when you count on others and they count on you. That way, victory is produced by everybody, all right? And that's what tonight was, man. Fast, physical. We said anybody, anywhere, any motherfucking time. All right? So we did what we came to do, all right? So there'll be a number of game balls that will be issued out, I'm sure, tomorrow. But there's one motherfucker that ain't leaving this city without one. Ooh. Cliff! Cliff! On to the motherfucking next. Yeah! Let's go! Let's go! Get in!
Friend of the show, Cliff Kingsbury, getting one of the game balls in the 42-14 drubbing of Arizona. RJ, you probably already know this because the stats everywhere, I think. Guess Jaden Daniels' completion percentage.
88.1%.
82.
Dang it.
82%, Bobby.
It's, look, he's been incredibly efficient. In fact, I think they said
yesterday.
I think they said the note I'd seen yesterday, in fact, I think it's right over here, his completion percentage over expectation to this point. He's generated a plus 8.7 completion percentage over expectation, the highest by a qualified rookie through 4 weeks since
RG3.
Dak Prescott, 2016. When Dak started that year, like throwing 80% and stuff. But yeah, he's been
16 straight scoring drives. I was like, are they putting up? They put up 40 and 50? Why? Like, red zone flash to the Washington punt later on because he goes, this is the freshest unit in the league right now. Look at them. Look how springy they are with the legs because they have not had to go out and cover a punt for 16 straight Washington scoring drives.
Yeah, I believe it is. It's now four punts on the season for Tressway. So he's punted once a game, which means he's punted once for each of his game checks. So he's getting paid $175,000 a punt so far this season is what Tressway gets. But you know what was frustrating about this was you mentioned former Cowboys, Sean. Next Gen Stats had a note yesterday. Dorrance Armstrong, this is not revisionist history saying you should have signed Dorrance Armstrong because I don't think he was as good a player as he was going to get paid to be. But still yesterday, four pressures and a sack on 13 pass rushes against Kelvin Beachum of the Cardinals alone. So getting a lot of success rushing the passer as the Cowboys are now without their top two.
And the Cowboys are tied for second in the NFC East. The Commanders are sitting at the top, and I don't think this is – I'm not throwing out the fluke flag on this one like I have years past. 3-1 for them. Cowboys and Eagles are 2-2. Giants are 1-3. Sirianni's getting destroyed and filthy. More on that at 8 o'clock as Pepe has been spying. We go a little more inside the star. The Cowboys news to know, Micah and Tank are going to be out for a little bit. Tank probably going to be out for a while. They're saying 4 to 8 weeks. Micah, most likely, probably the next game against Pittsburgh. We'll see what happens against Detroit. They may sit him out those two games before the bye week, and then the return, maybe, against the San Francisco 49ers.
Yeah, I mean,
House of cards. Add to the house of cards.
I don't know that you would stack it exactly this way because Diggs is involved, and so some people may view it differently with Diggs, but you could make an argument that they could be playing against Pittsburgh without their three best defensive players, without DeMarcus Lawrence, Micah Parsons, and Deron Bland. And so, I mean, they are in a really tough spot trying to get this defense settled in place, find their fit, and find what Mike Zimmer wants to do while also not having a bunch of key contributors. You've got another one in Trayvon Diggs who's coming off of an injury where it looks like it still might be limiting him a little bit, like he's still knocking off some rust. I would say that it's not as likely to me that they would continue to, all right, we're going to be able to build on some of these successes with the defense because it's going to be really difficult to get into the stuff they want to do without those guys.
To be fair, Pittsburgh might be the team that you want to play when you're down defensive players. They might be the one team you want to play.
No offense.
Their offense is not
It's
great.
Fields. It's Fields running around. Pickens, you know, for a big a pain in the ass as he is, he's still dangerous. He's a nice player. He had some brain farts again yesterday, but it's Fields waiting to run. That is what it is.
Yeah. I mean, that's...
I think.
I don't think you're wrong. I mean, he did throw for 312. But I mean, he takes a lot of sacks in general. How much of that is him just, you know, holding on to the ball too long or him running around and then getting sacked eventually?
He threw for 312.
22 of 34, 312.
All right. More on that later, but Bobby with a little post-hut clarity.
Yeah, let's take a look at, was this game any better or any worse after I got a chance to have the post-hut clarity, which Peyton getting a lot of props on Twitter for coming up with that little adjustment in the name. It was good. It was very good. I was mad at myself that I didn't come up with it. It's a good thing that Peyton came up with it on a Sunday. I don't think I would have gotten this if this was on a Friday, because after 6:40 on Thursday, he doesn't work, really.
Miss props.
All right. I have to. All right. He gets credit.
Let me have my
He gets credit
Bobby.
For it. He gets credit for it. All right. So let's take a look at the things that I feel differently about and talk through some of them and how concerning they might be. I got five things here after watching the tape back. Number one, Dallas probably should have lost this game by double digits. This is a game that started out good for them on offense, but the margins were really thin on that second drive. There were a couple of different points with the Hunter Lipke fourth down carry, a couple different things that happened in coverage for the Giants that I don't think you can consistently bank on that they were able to take advantage of. And when you look out throughout the case of the game, I had wondered, okay, how much of this was just the secondary was playing really well versus Daniel Jones wasn't doing his job? This is Daniel Jones not doing very basic tenets of his job. Like, I mean, stuff where if he throws, I know we said if you can just hit a deep ball, then you would have been fine. This was an instance of even the stuff he didn't throw where it's like you've got somebody, it's within your progression and you just didn't trust it. And stuff where when they are going downfield and he does trust it and he throws it, he had guys were beat by a full step. The Malik Hooker near interception, that should have never happened. Diggs was beat. Diggs was beat bad on that one.
Yeah.
And there were a couple other instances where it's like, if Daniel Jones just comfortably stands in there, doesn't get frazzled, and delivers the ball, Dallas loses that game.
He's thrown the ball downfield before. Like, he can do it.
Where do you think Danny Dimes came from?
Right. But now it seems like he just either, when he's throwing downfield, he either puts too much zip on it and doesn't get enough air under it, or he gets too much air under it, or it's just inaccurate.
Well, I think they also shell-shocked him.
Yeah, they may have.
Because there was an ESPN.com piece on them reining it in, and right, and there were people saying you never want to do that to a quarterback, but it's the old Parcells of just don't lose this. You're not good enough to win it, so we're not going to be aggressive. We're not going to go downfield.
Yeah, I think there's a decent case to be made that they broke his confidence.
They broke him physically, too. Dayball's like, you're going to go and you're going to run.
Yeah.
You're going to run like Justin Fields.
On 20-yard pass attempts so far this season, Daniel Jones is 2-for-14, which is about the worst completion percentage of anybody with 10 attempts or more. In fact, I think it is other than Caleb Williams. Caleb Williams and Daniel Jones are the two worst completion percentages in that. And if he hits any one of those six he threw the other night, or he hit one of, but if he hits any of the other five that he missed or tries to take advantage of other points of it, then this is a much different game. Number two, this is one of the things I really want to take a look at, because I know we talked about it on Friday a little. Last year, there was the discussion, has Brandon Cooks declined or are the Cowboys not using him properly? And I felt like last year, a lot of it was the Cowboys weren't using him properly. And they weren't getting to him in the progressions because CeeDee Lamb was playing so well. This year, he's declining. He is not the same player that he's been in recent years. He's not even the same player he was last year. And I don't know if he's banged up or if something's wrong, but defensive backs are not respecting his speed the same way they used to. So one of the things that always made Brandon Cooks really good.
I was watching him run one of his routes and I'm like, this is just a stupid random observation. I'm sure he's run like this all the time. I was like, he's taking a lot of steps to get to where he needs to go. Like,
well, he's so fast. Like, and he's, you know, when we interviewed, I think I mentioned it on the air. I can't remember if it was on the air or off the air, but we interviewed Rocket Ishmael last week. And Choppy had said, hey, you should ask him when he thought he was slowing down. And he's very similar size profile to Cooks. And it was around this age where Rocket said he slowed down and he had to change up his game. But one of the things that's always made Cooks really good outside of just the vertical passing game is the speed is such a threat and he has such an elite start-stop ability where he can go and he can sell the vertical and he can get a defensive back on their heels. And then when he stops, he comes to a complete stop and is able to turn around and attack the ball. And he's got 8 yards of space between him and the corner, because by the time the corner realizes he stopped, he's backing up, and then he's got to close quickly, and Cooks can make plays in space. Every single stop route, every single comeback I saw him make, the corner was right on him the entire time. Like, I mean, just slower, choppier steps. Took him longer to get stopped.
Sorry, he's 31.
Yeah. And look, I mean, he's been around for a decade now. So, I mean, this is the natural progression of things, especially for guys who are usually smaller and rely on speed. But I don't... Maybe he's banged up, but this looks like he's entering that period of decline that comes with smaller, quicker players.
Don't want to give away too many segments. I'd like to save this for tomorrow, but someone is going to get dealt out of Vegas. And if you're looking for people to save the season, we already had a Reddick conversation. You guys are saying that's not going to happen because Reddick is going to want a new contract with what's happening with the Jets with Mike and Tank out. Davante Adams is going to get dealt. And we need to have a serious, serious Davante discussion probably tomorrow.
I've got another guy to make a trade for.
Give me the division.
NFC South.
Oh, interesting.
NFC, you know who he's talking about?
No, that's why it's interesting to me.
He just gave the fake interest.
No, it was interesting to me because I couldn't instantly think of who that might be.
You talking about for a receiver?
Nope.
Okay. Interesting.
Mm. Yeah, see? Interesting. Ding yourself up.
I'm mocking you. It's not interesting because I don't know.
Number three, Dallas did a good job protecting Dak. I wondered, watching it live, the pressure rates are a little...
I thought you were trying to bring Thielen back.
The pressure rates are a little inconsistent to me. I don't always agree with the next-gen stats definition of what a pressure is. Like, or if the quarterback is truly pressured. Like, the quarterback sliding up in the pocket and just kind of comfortably getting away from rush still might be considered a pressure. And to me, it's like, no, that's an offensive line and a quarterback that are in unison with each other, know how to navigate it. And so to me, I don't count that, like, strictly as pressure. Dallas did hold things up pretty well. Guyton was not good in this game. Guyton didn't have as many pass rush like losses as it probably felt like, but he still was a negative player in this game for sure. But overall, the rest of the unit stepped up. This was an instance where the Giants really dialed back their blitzing. They'd been blitzing a ton, dialed it way back, were clearly concerned about their lack of corners, and the only pressure they generated all night was on blitzes. So if it was a case of, like, the only legit pressures I saw were blitzes, so when it came to just that front four that's really good with Thibodeau and Burns and Lawrence, they didn't get any pressure on the Cowboys. Number four, Amani Oruwariye.
All right.
He was good. And that was something where it was an easy default, I felt like, at the end of the game for people to say he was good because he had the pick and he had a couple tackles.
And with who he was replacing.
Yes, and that made it all easier. I wasn't
sure. Where's he from again? How'd they get him?
Penn State. He's had a couple different spots that he's been at, but he was a Penn State corner. Really long, big time athlete. Like definitely what Quinn or Richard would have had here. But I wasn't sure how good he was because I saw they attacked him instantly the first like three plays that he was out on the field and they had success with it. So going back, watching it, just getting his feet wet early, it wasn't a case where they just moved away from him or they found better matchups. He was really good in coverage. He made plays. And when they would try to work the ball his direction, it wasn't easy. So I thought that Oruwariye was good. He to me, like, that's a guy they should elevate. He should be active. He should be on the active roster. It should not be Booth anymore. They should cut their losses. That needs to be a Noah Igbinoghany experiment and then just discard it.
Igby.
And then number five, and we wondered about this a little bit heading into this season. And after game one, I felt...
By the way, those are second-round pick corners. Like, we talk about people missing. Mm-hmm. The trade that we tried last year, you throw Kelvin Joseph in that. Yeah. Kelvin Joseph tweeted the other day, my number's still the same, by the way.
Oh. Yeah. Did you see all the tweets after that?
No.
Oh, my gosh.
All right.
We may need to dive into that later. It was a whole breakdown of why he got railroaded in that shooting case. And...
Kelvin was explaining himself.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And talking about how this is BS. And apparently that you've got, like, my number's still the same as in reference to that whole case. Because that was the start of a tweet that then he went on a firestorm. Because I guess
I get to tell my story. This is going to be crazy.
His buddy who was charged with it got convicted, I guess, the other day. And that's what sent him on a rant.
But these are like three or four second round corners.
Yeah.
Bust.
Dude. Nashawn. Yeah. That whole collection of Wright and Igbinoghany and Booth and all those guys. We wondered about the recovery from the ACL with Diggs, and I thought after the first game against Cleveland where he was really, really good in coverage, I thought we had cleaned things up for the most part. He's not got the rust knocked off.
What week did he tear that?
As practice leading into week three.
Okay, so we're just at a year.
We're a year, yeah.
You're saying the rust, how? You talking about breaks? You talking about straightaway speed?
And how much of this is recovery between games? Like, you know what I mean? Like,
what do you mean?
Like,
you know, he was, you said he was really good week one. He was fresh. You know, and then like this, the recovery week to week is not there.
Yeah. I just wonder if it was he was more comfortable within the concepts and the Browns receivers weren't challenging as much and the pass rush was there. When he was forced to cover for extended periods of time, he's getting beaten stuff that he's normally very disciplined in. And I don't know if he's physically got some of the same stuff that he normally does. It's not bad reads. It's just like he's late almost, like physically making some of his turns or reacting.
Yeah. Guess his 40 time. I had to go back and look it up because I've noticed a couple times this year, I'm like, all right, he's beaten here by two or three steps, and it's either his receiving skills that are going to have to make up for this, his length that are going to have to make up with this. I don't know about the catch-up speed. You remember the 40 time?
So he didn't run it, but I think publicly it was speculated he was at 4.4. I know he was 4.55 to 4.58 is where scouts had him.
Wikipedia or Google says 4.42.
Yeah, he was. That was one of the reasons why he chose not to run, and that was the big.
I choose not to run.
That was one of the big dings on him was just he was not a big straight line speed guy. But this is stuff where it's stuff that's in front of him. He's breaking late, or he's finding himself off balance, or guys are getting him with stop start moves. Not the double moves, but just stuff where they're like doing pitter patter with their feet and he's just having trouble sticking to them. So a little bit of rust, it looks like, with him. He's still working his way back, but that was something that stood out in this game.
All right. Is that it?
That is it.
Post hut. Hut. Drew Pearson, right, Drew. Copyright, trademark. Well done. Bobby Belt with the film review of the New York Football Giants. They are a 2-point underdog right now at Pittsburgh to take on the Steelers. Sean Treif, RJ Choppy, Bobby, and Pepe live on the Fan Camp, Twitch, and YouTube. Did Nick Saban give the Cowboys a little bit of a warning, a little bit of a heads up?
Well, he might have. Now, he was talking about Colorado, Dion. He was talking about some of those games, and that's how this whole thing started. It was him on Pat McAfee. And then he goes into...
By the way, did you see Saban?
Yes.
Dead body just sitting there while Alabama was destroying. And I was like, is he not happy for DeBoer, or is he just... Emotionless. Job's not finished.
Yeah, emotionless. Job's not finished. That's exactly what, you know, the difference between Saban and DeBoer is. And Milroe talked about this. He goes, in practice, DeBoer's like, dude, celebrate. You made a nice play. And Saban was like, next play!
Kalen DeBoer's Baker Mayfield.
Yeah. good call. All right, so this is Saban on McAfee talking about the dangers of victories.
You're trying to change the mindset of how everybody's approaching preparation for the game. And it's the same thing I said before. Coach Prime situation. Play poorly and win. That is like the kiss of death. Because guys don't always want to... respond. They look at you like, hey, coach, we won the game. Why are you all upset making us practice and all that? Where if you lose, they're saying, when are we going to practice? Not why are we practicing? So there's a big difference in mindset. But the really great competitors, they always keep that same mindset. You know, they always, because they want to be the best that they can be. So it's not about just winning and losing. It's about how good can I be?
All right. So, and that could be, and it wasn't even talking about the Cowboys, but it could be something very simple that, and now this is different because it's professionals versus 18, 19-year-old kids.
Yeah, they're professionals now.
They're professionals now too, but they're still 18 or 19, all right? The mindset might be a little bit different. But, you know, are you being ridden during practice after you win, even if you win a close game? And, you know, obviously the NFL is different. Margins are small. Most of these games are one-possession games. Most games are decided by less than 8 points. But sometimes, you know, can you get complacent? You feel better when you win, but you know the Cowboys have to know after Thursday. I mean, that wasn't great. That was not a great win. Nobody should be thinking, yeah, hell yeah, we beat the Giants on the road by five. Like, they shouldn't be thinking that. And is that something that the Cowboys need to look at? And that is the kiss of death.
Look, it's very simple. It comes down to standard. And it sometimes ticks people off. I think it was 7:20 Friday when we were just, you know, kind of going off about the game. Well, we went off about the game. It didn't really go off because we know what they are. I wasn't expecting them to destroy, but we were kind of going off on McCarthy and him getting irritated over the media. And it just boils down to standard. You know, I remember arguing about this with Corey a little bit, or debating with Corey over the years. I don't believe in a win is a win. I just don't believe in that. How did you do it? How did it look? Let's be honest about it. In the radio world, we got such an effed up rating system by these morons who came up with it and refused to change it that we can get great numbers while doing shows that aren't as good and vice versa. We can be doing shows that are not as good and we can get good numbers. It's just a random lottery and luck of the draw. It's a bunch of BS, good or bad. But you got to know and be able to self-evaluate. That's the thing. How much are you holding the mirror up? And how critical are you being? Is Jerry Jones really believing what he says when he comes on here every Tuesday and Friday and says, I'm fine with every position on the roster? Or is he just saying that publicly and behind the scenes, he knows that they have a lot of personnel problems and things to address? You have to adhere and hold yourself to a standard and be honest about it, even if the results can be a little misleading.
You know what he's going to say tomorrow. Did you see that, what Baltimore did to Buffalo?
Like the rest of Twitter?
That's what he's going to say.
Yeah.
He's going to...
Everyone else. Look at the rest of the league as an example.
There is something to be said. Like, this is an 8-8 league or whatever. It's a one-possession league. The Chiefs are winning all these games by one possession. I think they have now have 9 of their last 10 wins or 10 games have been by one possession.
Yeah, I'm tired of them, by the way.
Right.
I'll get to that later.
But... the difference is that the Chiefs, like the Patriots with Tom, I mean, they were just, you just trusted them.
We believe they're going to turn it on.
You trust
they have
them.
We know they have another gear.
And even if they don't have another gear, you know they're going to win in the end anyway because they've got the player that's going to win in the end. And, you know, even though those playoff games are largely one possession games, it's just the way it is with them, you know? So I don't even think you could, it's not fair to use Kansas City.
Weren't you saying there was a little bit of Kool-Aid, Cowboy Kool-Aid being served up over the weekend?
Yeah, there were people arguing that case right there of like, oh, that makes the Baltimore game look a whole hell of a lot better, doesn't it? Like, I got several of those. Like, it really doesn't. No, it doesn't make it look better. And people were like, oh, okay, you're dug in, or oh, you're just being stubborn. It's like, okay, all right, 274 rushing yards allowed, and that's the most allowed in the NFL through 62 games. So far, you are the worst. Even Baltimore's three other opponents, you've been the worst. And also, it was the first time since 1959, that game, where a team gave up 270 yards rushing, 3 rushing touchdowns, and a passer rating of 135. Nobody else has done that as a home team in 63 years, 65 years, whatever it is.
Inside the Star during the commercial-free expressway here on your home of the Dallas Cowboys, Jerry Jones tomorrow at 8:30. Every day this week during this segment, we hook you up.
All right, Tolos, right now, call a number 10 at 877-881-1053. Wins a 4-pack of tickets to the Texas State Fair. That's call a number 10 at 877-881-1053.
All right, we also need to recap the weekend. Really high YouTube and Twitch numbers, so thank you all for that. Being Tolos, that stands for turn it on, leave it on. We need to know what type of trouble and debauchery you got in this weekend.
Ladies and gentlemen, the weekend.
I'm having a bad fucking weekend.
Pretty lame and boring in the email chain, except for probably Roberto. So you start us off with best and worst.
Yeah, there wasn't really anything bad this weekend. No Cowboys playing over the weekend or even leading into a Monday game is a nice changeup, like that I get outside of the holiday, the Thanksgiving holiday. You usually get like one a year where it's like, oh, I get to actually go out to like a sports bar and watch college games and then watch the NFL slate for a little bit. It like gives me a chance to actually go hang out with people and watch stuff. So I got Saturday and Sunday, went to Boomer Jacks with Tolo Steve.
Both days.
Yep. Took in college games and then took in the noon games from out there.
Do we know Steve?
Yeah, you guys have met Steve at the firehouse and stuff like that before. Yeah, so
which one is he? Profile him.
I don't know. He's like 6'1", like ruggedly handsome. Okay, like I don't know. Yeah, mid like early 50s. So okay. Yeah, that's Steve. But it's good. It was a good chance. I got to go out there taking the games. I don't normally get to do that. But Saturday night was the
so
real
when,
highlight.
When you go out like that, you don't. Do you think like, hey guys, I'm hitting up Boomer Jacks today and tomorrow. If you guys are free, stop by, watching the games out there. You think about hitting us up during that?
I
do typically, this was a thing where I got texted like 30 minutes before, like, do you want to come out and hang out? And I said, yes.
So, and then the second day, same thing.
Yeah, I literally woke up to the text when I woke up at 11:17 from my late
11.
Yeah, from my late Saturday night because I was seeing this gentleman.
Honey, I know you love getting dressed up. And you know I love showing you all.
Great song.
Saturday night, we went to Western Days in Louisville, the 2-day, like, country fest with a bunch of different vendors and different things like that that they have in Louisville. And on the second day, it was Chris Young, the multi-platinum Rangers Cowboys. GM. Nope, not that one. Or the former outfielder. This is the country music artist. Big-time Cowboys fan, too. Just like, that is his... He has, for years now, been very upfront with his Cowboys love. In fact, this was a... I owe a huge thank you to Doug Dawson over at the Cowboys because he is friends with Chris Young, and he had hooked this up for me where I... will win every argument for the foreseeable future with Kristen. Yeah. Because
I thought the makeup already did that.
We got to spend 30 minutes on the bus, on his tour bus. Chris Young talking Cowboys music, bunch of other stuff. That's Kristen's favorite singer of all time. So this is a pretty big trump card where whenever
Did she know you had this type of access going in?
Yeah, she did. She knew that we were planning it, trying to get it together. But moving forward, if she wants to have an argument with me, I'm going to pull up the picture she took with him. I'm just going to hold it up and show it to her. Just like, remember this. And so it was great. She loves the song Neon from him. When we first were together, she played the hell out of that song. And we were telling him about it. And he said, he's like, well, that's not on the set list tonight. He's like, I haven't been typically playing. He's like, but I don't want anybody to leave here bummed out. He's like, so I got you covered. So at the end of the show, he did. He played it.
Right.
And at the end of it, he was like, I don't normally play that, but I was told I had to play that one tonight.
Oh,
and very so cool.
Did the cereal happen right there in the crowd?
Well, that's where the worst of the weekend comes into play.
Oh, no.
So the worst of the weekend.
What'd you do on the ride home?
I was walking around.
It doesn't matter with them.
I know.
They can have it out in the parking lot. It still doesn't matter.
Hell yeah. So the problem was that I'd been walking around the bar at Boomer Jack's earlier in the day. Then went walking around Louisville for 5 hours.
Met up with Steve.
Yeah, walked around Louisville for 5 hours just around. And, you know, like, it's all by foot. Like, you're just kind of walking around the fair and going back and forth. So by the time the concert was starting, my sciatic nerve was acting up so bad. So bad. That I didn't even stand.
And can't you see his lower hand, like his hand doing this, like he does?
I did, or like my little crouch where I get down in the catcher's position because I gotta loosen it up.
You know, your back exists.
I didn't even stand. Like, there was not a second I was next to Kristen during the concert. I was on the periphery because I couldn't. The problem was she was in the pit, and I couldn't just stand in there. Like, I had to like be able to stretch it out. And so then we ended up. She's been having her drinks, having a good time. She meets her hall pass.
Pretty dramatic there, Nick.
She gets to stand right up front.
Is. Well done.
He basically shouts her out, and we get back, and no cereal, because I walked straight inside and said, I got to get an ice pack and go to bed.
Oh, my God.
Bobby.
And so I immediately went into our bedroom. This is the oldest I've ever felt. Went into our bedroom, set the adjustable bed to zero gravity position, stuck the ice pack on my back, and fell asleep within 5 minutes. And the problem is that you can't just... I can hold on to the get out of argument free card. I can't get that relations
you
back.
Can't. You can't.
I can't get the intensity of those relations back.
You're done.
I can try and cash that in on Thursday or something.
Yeah.
And it may be like, yeah, but it's not going to be what it was going to be that night. Nope. And it is one of my top five regrets of all time. Like it's right up there with like, I didn't tell my mom I love you enough. Like that kind of thing. Like that's what the sciatic thing brought me. So
best and worst of the weekend here on DFW Sports Station. I'd like to hear about your worst of the weekend.
All right. So Saturday night, Julian's playing in his flag football out in Southlake. And, you know, we leave. So we're packing up the truck, leave, get home. And you know that Yeti we got at training camp?
Yeah. Scott Agolnik.
Yeah.
Cowboys PR.
Well, I brought it with me, and I go to reach into the cup holder.
What was in the Yeti?
It was just water.
Okay.
Yeah, we have a separate receptacle for that stuff.
Yeah.
This is just water. So I go to reach into it, and I'm like, where is it? And I'm like, oh, I bet you Sarah picked it up and brought it inside. No, it's not there. And I'm looking all around, looking in the bed of the truck, everything. And then it hit me. As we were packing the truck up and I was putting the dog in, I put it on the top of the truck bed cover.
Yeah.
I think it's called a tonneau cover or whatever. And I get home, and in full-on Bobby fashion, I'm like, you know what? I'm driving back to the field.
Okay. How long is the drive?
About 15 minutes.
Okay, that's not bad.
Not terrible.
I thought you were, because I could see you freaking out over something like this. I got something for free. It's nice. I'm not leaving it behind. I thought you that your email was going to say that you drove home, and it was still magically. That's what I want to know on the fan text. How many times, because Sandler texted me this the other day. He had like tools or something he put on the top of his car. It stayed there all the way to the globe.
Oh,
I want to know how many times you the thing you set on top of your vehicle actually remained and stayed. And how the hell is this happening in terms of the law of physics and science? I thought you were going to say the cup stayed, but obviously it did not.
No, it did not stay. So I drive back to the park, about 15 minutes. And it's obviously it's empty. The whole park is empty. Everything's done. And I go right to the spot where I was, and I look, and I shine the headlights out there, and I see the lid and the straw. Okay, so obviously it had fallen off. Bam, they pop up, and they fall off. So now I'm scouring the area for the cup. And the cup is not there.
Yeah, you see him melted down over mm-hmm. this.
So somebody obviously just grabbed the cup. Of course they would. It's got a handle. It's a great-looking mug. So now I'm very bummed. But the good news is when I buy a new one, now I'm going to have two lids and two straws.
Okay, that's good.
That's the positive side.
Did you pick up the straw?
I did, of course. Yeah, I grabbed it. And it did not break. This thing is amazing. It didn't break. It's in the washing machine, the dishwasher
that's
right
nasty.
Now. That's nasty. Oh, it was on the pavement. It was on the grass. Different story.
903 said, had a buddy's wallet stay on top of my Jeep from our house to the bars in college.
See?
Wow.
I've never had this happen, anything like that.
It's insane. It's crazy. Best and worst of the weekend. Commercial-free expressway on DFW Sports Station 105.3, The Fan. Tom Brady versus Baker. The Chicago Bears almost had the greatest of all time, and everything else that happened around the NFL next on Sean and RJ.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for Blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
bathroom?
I feel
like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything
taken care of. It took forever. And the worst part? Hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
Shop Blinds.com for up to 50% off site-wide and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.